If you were here last week, you may remember Reverend Kate talking of Lent as a journey. And yes, as a metaphor, it is one we hear maybe even too much, but that is because it fits. If this Lenten journey is about preparing ourselves in heart and mind for the Easter feast, which I think it is, then as a journey, we need to have a starting point, some rough idea of our destination, and hopefully a few different roads we can take to get there. So where do we start? Well, we're starting exactly where we are, in the wilderness, as messy, fallible, beloved children of God who have families and jobs and mortgages and addictions and talents and bad habits. Where are we going? Well, that one's a longer answer, and probably different for everyone. But I think it's safe to say that we are all looking for some experience of God this season. A reminder of who we really are. A reminder of who God really is. A reminder of how the world could be. Often during baptism preparation, I talk with families about how we are made in the image of God, but that image has become tarnished, like looking at ourselves in an old antique mirror. We can definitely make out something that kind of resembles us, but the image isn't clear. We can't get the details right. So I would suggest that Lent is like buying a little bit of polish for our mirrors. It helps us to see ourselves as God sees us. Struggling, yet very good. On this journey, some take the path of giving something up in the expectation that it will help draw them closer to God. Or probably subconsciously, perhaps even feel like maybe we're sharing in Jesus' suffering, just a tiny little bit if we pick something really hard. Some choose to take on a new spiritual discipline, like reading the Bible or praying more often. And the goal here is sometimes to find something that we hope will stick year-round. But sometimes we pick something that we're going to commit to for 7.5 weeks, and then that's it. Thank you very much. No more. Like any trip, there are some potholes to avoid along the way. The first one is that we run the risk of being far too legalistic about all this. So for example, if I choose to give up drinking for Lent, and I get home after a tough day here with y'all, and I decide I just really need an old-fashioned tonight, it is not like my salvation is suddenly in jeopardy. Or if I say that I will read a chapter of the Bible every night, but I get tired and I forget, maybe after my old fashion, I have not committed myself to the fires of damnation. We cannot earn God's love in these or any other practices, and we don't have to. We already have it. The second pothole is that if we're not careful about this, we might turn our Lenten practices into nothing more than an overly spiritualized New Year's resolution. We use the season to make a change that we know deep down inside we should have made years ago. But now, when the change doesn't stick, and we know most resolutions don't, we don't just feel like bad people, we are also bad Christians. And that is not the best way to inspire lasting change. Do you remember what Jesus said about the Sabbath? That whole thing about the Sabbath being made for us and not us for it? I would offer the same thing about Lent. We were not made for a Lenten journey. It was made for us and for our good. All this talk about journeys, though, evokes another one from today's readings, because Jesus is also on a journey in Luke's gospel. It began a ways back in chapter 9, where the writer says, "When the days drew near for him to be taken up, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. And now, in the final weeks of his life, Jesus is moving ever closer to the city where some of the great prophets of the past were ignored or sometimes even killed. Jeremiah, for example, was thrown into a muddy, empty well and left to die because he dared discourage the soldiers. Uriah was struck down there with a sword, and I could go on. But what Jesus says is not just historical, it is also predictive. Because Jesus himself, as we know, is soon to be put to death just outside the city walls. Plus, when it speaks of those who are sent to Jerusalem, that is quite literally the apostles. That's the word in the Greek text. So there's also this sense that Jerusalem, which was the capital city and the center of their religious world, rejected the prophets and apostles on behalf of the entire political and religious system. Yet, even yet, Jesus still longed to protect his people like a mother hen. There's a story that has circulated for years about this passage, and I imagine some of you have heard it. It's about a hen who died in a fire. But when firefighters arrived, they found many of her chicks alive under her charred wings. She sacrificed herself to save her brood. I have no idea if this story is true or not, and I can pretty much guarantee you that neither Jesus nor Luke was trying to evoke it. But the message fits. What I do think the author was going for is that the image of God as a bird is a very common one in Scripture. So just a couple of examples. First, in Deuteronomy, God is said to act as an eagle stirring up its nest and hovering over its young. Or in a psalm that should be familiar to all of you who join us for Compline on Thursday nights, the psalmist prays that God would guard him as the apple of the eye and hide him in the shadow of God's wings. Like the mother hen, God desires to protect and nurture all of her children in Jerusalem and elsewhere. Yet they and we often reject that offer. This whole passage then is foreshadowing what is about to come at the end of the journey that Jesus takes to deal with that problem. The journey he is taking on our behalf. He will indeed be greeted upon his entrance into Jerusalem with his followers saying, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." It echoes the words of Psalm 118, a great song that was probably used to mark the joyful entrance of a king. But now it drips with irony, since his journey will end not at a throne, but at the cross. So where will our journeys lead? I can't tell you that. But I can tell you that just as Jesus remained committed to it despite the threats, we are all called to continue our movement back to God. Called to trust that God wants to welcome us and shelter us all under the shadow of her wings. May it be so.